Welcome. It is November 16 of 2022, at least where I am. And this is a Convergent Facilitation coaching call with Wani, that's me, and Magda.
That's me.
And we are here to support you with applying CF in your life, whether that's with your family or your community or at work, or if you have absolutely no idea where to get started. And unlike our workshops, this is not a teaching space. So we're not going to be sharing a lot of content. We're going to be engaging with people with their actual real life challenges, which can include you have no idea what to do or what are your challenges. That can also be a starting point. And in general, I enjoy working with groups, and Magda enjoys more working with individuals. So if there's anyone who would like one-on-one support, one of our options is for Magda to join you in a breakout room and support you individually, and I can remain here and support people who want to stay in group or just listen to other people receiving coaching. Magda, is there anything else you wanted to share before we get started?
Yes, I want to invite gentleness into the space, because when we try something new, we encounter challenges or may make mistakes. And I want to welcome everything here so that you can with maybe more ease to share about anything you want to share.
Thank you. I want to add to that that even when something isn't new, things can still be challenging and vulnerable to share. And I still mess things up all the time. And if it supports you in not feeling as nervous or uncomfortable, I'm happy to share with you stories of my failures, so that we can all be together in our understanding that learning is a journey. In this moment, I would love to hear if anyone has any requests that will help you settle into the space or be present before we move to hear from everyone what you're bringing. And if anyone would want to be in a one-on-one session with Magda. So any requests in general or questions that would help you arrive and orient to what we're doing?
I have a question. At a certain point, I need to do some things in my kitchen, and I'm wondering if people would appreciate me turning off my camera. I'm definitely going to be present and listening, but I'm going to be moving about.
I would love to already start with this as a coaching opportunity and invite you to ask the group some raise hand question that would support you in discerning what to do.
Great. Thank you. Is there anybody who would be raise your hand, please, if you would be supported, if it would create ease for you, for me to have my camera off when I'm moving around? Rumi?
Yeah, for me, I'll be supported with that. That will be okay. But it will be also okay if you have your camera on or off. Both is okay for me.
Okay. Maybe let me change the question. Is there anybody who would prefer, please raise your hand if you would prefer that I have my camera off as I'm moving around? Okay. That feels clear.
Thank anybody you, with someone. Concerns?
Yeah, so to connect the dots for everyone, we are practicing using raise hand questions instead of asking something like, how does everyone feel about this, which would take up more time that we would probably like to spend on this question. And then you also saw Rachel adjust based on getting a response that wasn't as clear, and trying a different question to get clarity. Rachel, is there any other reflection or questions you have in relation to this, not not your camera situation, but the raise hand question. Thank you for modeling for us. So I would love to do a quick round, hearing from people just in a sentence or two, if you brought something that you would like to receive coaching about. Also, I imagine not everyone might know each other, so why don't we share how we pronounce our name, and maybe where you are physically located, and then a couple of sentences about I would like to receive coaching about, or I want to be in a one-on-one session with Magda, or I would like to listen for a bit and then see where I am, or whatever you're bringing with you. Is anyone not clear on what the prompt is? And that was another example of using, even though I didn't ask anyone to raise their hand, it's the same concept. It just moves us along faster, the more precise I can be in what I'm asking. All right, great. Is there anyone who is moved to go first? Go right ahead.
I like to get it done, and then I don't feel sit in my nervousness as long. I'm Maureen. I'm in Florida, and Tallahassee, Florida, which is North Florida. And I have something I think I would like to work with, and I'm curious if it's something that can be worked with. Yeah. Is that?
Would you be willing to give me one sentence of what the topic is, if you can, or maybe just a couple of words so I know how to refer to it instead of Maureen's thing?
Okay. Yeah. It's a ongoing conflict occurring in responding to the call of our times.
Mm, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with that space. Familiar enough to abbreviate it when I know it in the chat so I can track it. And I want to invite people to just jump in and speak next whenever you're ready.
I'll go next. I pronounce my name Sabina, so I'm misspelling it here on purpose. It's my pronunciation guide spelling, and I live in England, in Norwich, and I'm in RTTC as well, and would also love to bring, get some coaching related to some aspect of the conflict that's happening there. And it feels like a very big conflict, so I have no idea where we might pick up a threat. I'm very happy to sort of let Maureen lead on that as well.
I'll go next. My name is Rumiana. You can call me shortly Rumi. It is spelled Rumi there. I'm sitting in my home office in Innsbruck. Innsbruck is a small town in Austria and the mountains. So I participated in the last convergent facilitation intensive with Roni and Magda. There is where I heard about this coaching course. So here I am. I'm curious about everything that might emerge today. I don't really have a specific issue. Although I have a lot of issues, both in my professional and my private life. Professionally, what I'm doing professionally is holding space for conversation. So working at SOS Children's Villages, this is an NGO, a nonprofit organization. We help children in need, and I help the organization help the children in need by having more meaningful conversations. So I definitely gonna use conversation facilitation within that. But as today is more of a private life context, I bring a few challenges also in my private life in communicating with my partner and with my 14-year-old teenager. So if there is any possibility, I have a few interesting examples that I would like to explore in a one-on-one conversation with Magda. that's from me. Nice to connect with all of you.
I can go next. I'm Rachel. I am also in a small mountain town like you, Rumi. I'm in the US though, in the Southwest part of the US. I'm also in the RTTC and I have no idea what conflict is happening, which is interesting to me to hear that there's a big conflict happening. I tend to not attend in person. I tend to listen to the recordings. So I'm curious about that. And then what I am bringing personally is a conflict with my two teenagers around phone use.
Oh, same.
Imagine here. That. Yeah. And that's, yeah, I'm complete. So happy to be here. Thank you.
I see our theme for the day is conflict. I enjoy when things magically just connect with each other. Makes it easier for us to support everyone in connecting on shared purpose. Sarah, I'm curious if there's something you want to share.
I happen to know that Sarah is driving.
Yes, mm-hmm. She's driving and she said she will be listening.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and I don't know if she can unmute herself while driving. She asked me to mute her earlier. Mm.
Yes, I want to look at what we have on our potential planned adventures and see how we might want to set this up. I heard from Rumi that you would enjoy support from Magda. And yes, I'm curious if Magda, that works for you.
It does.
So the
one. Although, you know, I'm totally okay if I have the learning experience also in the group. So please feel free to, you know, adjust and fix whatever serves you both and the group.
I believe Magda would enjoy offering you one-on-one support instead of staying with the group. So it works well for everyone.
Okay.
Magda, is there anything else you want to share or do before you go to breakout room?
I just want to share that to Rachel, that I would be also fine if you join me and Rumi if you want to be in the same topic. Yeah, it's up to you.
Thank you. I feel so torn because I do. And then I also want to hear what's going on in the RTTC.
Uh-huh.
let me just, I think I will go with you actually, because that is, yeah, what's going on in my house. So,
uh-huh.
And I'll listen to the recording.
There is an option of us staying here and doing one and then the other. So that is also a possibility. Basically, do you have a sense of what's that?
I would love that if that works for everybody.
My God, are we a small enough group where that would work for you?
Yes.
Okay. So is there anyone who has a strong preference for us to do something different than to stay here and do one topic and then the other?
I love this one.
Sabina? I don't know yet if I have a strong preference. I guess I have a concern mm-hmm. that the RTTC thing might be quite prolonged.
Would it work for you then if we start with the other one and maybe engage with that for about 20 minutes and then see where we are?
I guess, yeah.
You don't sound certain. Is there something else that still concerns you?
I guess I was almost thinking because Rachel's sort of interested in this as well, we might start with the RTTC one. And if a little while in, it looks like we might need the full time for that, then the others could go into the other room.
Ah, okay, I see. So you'd like us to start with the RTTC and then do a check in 20 minutes to see where we are and assess if we want to split up.
If that would work for others. Mm-hmm.
So to the question in the chat, RTTC is an abbreviation for responding to the call over times, which is the name of the space where this conflict is occurring. And thank you for asking. I love it when people ask for things because it helps with clarity for everyone. And our most recent proposal is to start with that topic and in 20 minutes check in to see if we want to change what we are doing. Is there anyone who still has some concern that that is not going to work? Wonderful, so let's do that. And before we do that, I want to highlight for us, which I do a lot when we have coaching calls and when I'm teaching, what I was just doing. So one of the things that I hope everyone is noticing in the space is to watch Magda and I model. So you can see me doing conversion facilitation even in these small decisions. I'm making a proposal, I'm checking to see if there are concerns, and then you saw Sabina saying, yeah, I guess that's okay. And me going, I'm not so sure. You said yes, but I'm not so sure that you meant yes. And then us finding something else to do that actually seems to work better. So one of the things you could be getting, especially people who are just listening out of this space, is just to watch how we are doing it so that we have live modeling. And then if you see me or Magda or anyone else do something that you're like, I don't see how that's in alignment with our principles, then we can engage with that and see if we can get more clarity. Magda, I'm curious if there's anything you want to share. Yes, do you have a preference as to which one of us will start in supporting this topic?
Yes, I want to share. I know nothing about the responding to the call of our times space. I've never been there, I don't know, so I'm ignorant. And this might be an advantage. And I have a preference for you to start.
Thank you. And I think what I want to do with the first piece you shared, not the advantage part, but just the context, is to see if there's someone who'd be willing to just offer us a few sentences of what is responding to the call of our times, so everyone has context about the space.
I'm happy to speak to that. So it's a course that's a year-long course, happens every Friday, so it's every week for 2 hours. It's the course leader is Mickey Cashtown, and it's about developing leadership skills. And she defines leadership as an orientation rather than a position. And she defines it as taking care of the whole, or caring for the whole, not taking care of the whole, but caring for the whole. Big difference there, I think. And it's however you might choose to interpret the call of our times, really.
Thank you. So Maureen, you started us off with bringing up this topic. I'm curious if you'd be willing to offer us a brief summary of what's happening with this conflict. And I would love it if you can connect it, like you could offer it in different ways. And I think what would be supportive for our purpose here is to connect it to this orientation of integration, or what is potentially a decision or some kind of a shared dilemma that we might be able to orient to and think about how to engage with.
I think
as
I can do that.
To, you know, a restorative circle or other tools that we might bring into the mix, which are all lovely and not what we do here.
Okay, so there's a conflict between the group for the most part and one person who's been showing up in a way that's been difficult for people around her beliefs. She's German. And she has certain beliefs outside of the mainstream around the culture that she was raised in. and she's trying to get other people to hear her and her beliefs. And what I would like to do here, and she recently was removed from the group after 8 months of, I'm trying not to be jackly at all, of very little being done to it within the group, like within the RTTC group and MVC Academy, to integrate or to figure out what to do to lessen impact on her, on Mickey, and on the individuals.
I want to check that I'm understanding this because I think it's important for the rest of our conversation. I'm gonna try to get a less controversial version of the second piece that you shared. Your sense is that there were not a lot of actions being taken by organizers to attend to this issue until recently. Did I get that?
Yeah, based on what I could see.
Yes, based on what
I know. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then could you say more about this being removed? Is that about being asked to leave or told to leave or like literally taken out of access? What do we mean by removed?
The last part, she was removed and then told she no longer can come in.
Okay, like removed from a live session?
It was after a Friday session, and that Saturday she didn't know, but she was removed.
Okay, so removed from the course and no longer has access to be able to come to sessions.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. I'm clear. Is there more you want to share?
Well, I have already asked this question of Lori. If we do a do-over, and in the beginning of the class, when I was in a small group because of the impact that this woman was having on people and the content she was placing in the discussion forum, I was part of a group that decided that her content should be removed because it didn't align with the views and it was triggering for a good number of people. So, and she impacted me when I was on the discussion forum with her views on a post that I made that had nothing to do with what she was separate from what, it didn't answer my question that I put out, just was, came in and had a bunch of her stuff on it. So that action was removed. I mean, that action was taken. And I forgot what you asked me, Roni.
What I'm wanting to know in this moment is what would be supportive for you in terms of what you want to engage with.
So I would like to know back before things got amplified even more and more, and she became radicalized more and more and more and fired up and whatever. If back then we could have done convergent facilitation, including her and the group, to decide if it was on purpose for her, on purpose for the group, on purpose for Mickey. Mm-hmm. That would have been my dream instead of what happened, which was more like a nightmare for mm-hmm. me. Because I actually am the person who surrounded her, believe it or not. Like I was able to get close enough to her that she could trust me. So I lessened impact on the group because of that. And then she was recently removed. And how I've handled it has been very much within my capacity. I had her, we do voice messaging on WhatsApp. And I only listen when I have time. And that's how we converse. So that was within my, and that was enough to keep her feeling like somebody cared about her. And I made some other steps too, involving other people in the group that could be with her, even though there are times she was difficult to be with. So, but what I would have loved is that had happened, and as a leadership, and if Mickey was out of capacity, that she said, hey, Roni, could you come help do conversion? Or hey, somebody... Dominic, will you do restorative circle? Hey, somebody help me because this has been really challenging. So, mm-hmm. and I'm so, that's why one of the things I asked Lori is, could this have been done for my own learning? Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. as a person who would facilitate groups, if this happened, could this have been a tool? It's too late now for the most part, but still. Okay. How's that sound?
It sounds like a good place to start. I want to welcome Marcella. Marcella, we are in this moment engaging with a conflict that's been unfolding in responding to the call of our times, which I know you're familiar with the space, and the question of could we have used conversion facilitation to do something to attend to this and what? So that's the question. We also have another topic that's on the table that has to do with some support from Magda around challenge conflict. Conflict is our theme of the day, about phone use and other family challenges. And our agreement was to engage with this for a bit and then check to see if we want to transition to something else. And given that you have just arrived, it gives us a great pausing point to see, now that we've heard the question and what's on the table, my sense is I want to engage with it for about 10 more minutes and then see where we are. I want to check with Rumi and Rachel if you would prefer to go into breakout room and engage with something else now that you've heard what this thing is.
Thank you for that opportunity. I would prefer to stay. I'm curious what we'll discover here. And at this point, we still have an hour left. So I'm happy to stay. Thank you for asking.
I see nodding from Rumi as well. Okay, thank you. First I would say the very generic answer, could we have used conversion facilitation for this? Most likely, yes, because there was a decision to be made and there were definitely some different perspectives. I don't know if it's necessarily the first tool that would have come to mind for me. You were speaking about like, if this is a learning opportunity, yes, I think it could definitely have been picked. If you specifically are looking for opportunity to practice CF, this would have worked quite well, I think. So that's the first piece. The other thing I want to say, if there's an interesting question, there was something in how you were asking that sounded to me like you were wondering if Lori or Mickey or somebody who is holding some organizer or leadership position in that space would have supported that happening or would have wanted to lead that or engage with it. And I also want to remind us that you or anyone else could have led that without Mickey or Lori or anyone else leading it or supporting it or being involved. So there is the possibility of saying, and just saying, I see this challenge emerging and I want to hold a conversion facilitation process, whoever I is, anyone who's participating in that space, to do something about it. So I want to pause there first and see if this piece makes sense to you.
Yeah, can I? I'm gonna ask a clarifying question. When you say that, I could have done that and I'm thinking of doing things now related to it, but I don't see how I could have done that in the space that Mickey holds if she didn't have willingness.
But it's a different request. If I come to someone and I say, this is a learning opportunity for conversion facilitation, are you willing to make it happen? That is a much more of an ask from someone than if I come to someone and say, I see this as an opportunity for me to practice conversion facilitation. Here is my plan of how I'm going to lead that process in the space with the least amount of effort from you. Do you have any concerns about me doing it? It is a very, very different question. Do you feel that difference?
Yeah. Well, yes. So, although I knew nothing about convergent facilitation.
I understand.
Okay. Yeah. So, but what I wish I had done, which I'm doing now, is I wish I had, instead of hearing that they couldn't help me, which is what I heard, I wish I had found someone who could and asked them to come, which is kind of what I'm doing now, instead of me lone wolfing it myself, trying to find people to surround this person in a way that they could have care for her, even though she was showing up really in a way that was difficult for many people. Mm-hmm. I wish I had found somebody, but I didn't know anybody. I know people now. Like, let's pretend I said, Roni, hey, gosh, could you help us here? Right? Like that, you know, like maybe I would do that now, but I didn't know anybody to do that.
Yes. Yeah. So definitely I'm all in favor of seeking support. And if you're reaching out to someone, wanting them, even in what you just said, hey, Roni, can you come help us? It still would be easier for me and anyone else if there was more of a sense of holding from you. Not, okay. I need help, I'm stuck. I see this problem and this is my sense of what might be helpful. And this is what I would want from you. And if you don't have clarity about that, that is a place to seek support to say, I need help figuring out what to do and what I want to ask. That is the open question. And then the more you can come to someone who holds a skill set that you want in the space to support you with clarity about what you're asking them to do, the more likely it is that they would have the spaciousness to be willing to offer it. Because you're not, when you come in with just, can you help me? You're asking for two things. You're asking for support with a specific thing, and you're asking for support with figuring out what to do.
Totally.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I have done that currently. I have asked people, somebody that I'm actually willing to pay that I know that I literally would pay them to come and not within the RTTC thing, but outside of it to see if we could do some repair. And then somebody within NGL I asked, and they already spent 2 hours. Volkmar has helped me. He spent 2 hours with Gertrude already. And then we're going to see where we can go from there. So, but I'm saying this part, like sort of generalized, that's not how I operated. Like I didn't say, come help me. I'm helpless. The way
that's
I just
said to you. I'm just checking for things that I think I might be hearing, and anything that I share, if you're like, no, that's not a problem I have, that's great. We can let it go and move on.
Okay.
I do want to check and see first, Magda, if you have anything that you heard that you want to speak to, or if you see any of this differently. And then also to check if anyone else wants to add something.
I am slightly distracted by Wutsia being around and playing in the same room. And no, nothing comes to me right now.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mitchell.
Yeah, I think I'm just wanting to understand your response, Roni. I think, is it accurate that you are saying to Maureen that there might have been an opportunity for her to not hold this alone, to not feel so alone in this, and to seek support from somebody who could brainstorm with her, support her, offer ideas of how, like what would be a collaborative way to work with this conflict?
I'm not opposed to anything that you shared, and that was not the point that I was trying to make. The point I wanted to make is one of the things that helps us when we are wanting to seek support with a situation is to separate the support about figuring out what support I need or what I want to do from the request for support once I have a sense of what it is that I want to do or what I want to ask for. Sometimes when we're not clear, we will reach out for support from someone who might be willing to support us with a specific action, but isn't willing to support us with getting clarity. And so we miss out on this opportunity because if we're like, could you help me with this? I have no idea what to do. They might say no to that, but they would not necessarily say no to doing something tangible once we know what it is that we want them to do. So in this example, Mickey or Lori or myself, we might say no to, could you help me figure out what to do about this? And we might say yes to, would you hold a 2-hour conversion facilitation session to help us make a decision about this person's participation? Okay. Is that clear?
Yeah, so you're saying that if you come to somebody with a more specific request, you might be more likely to get a yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Because I think sometimes there are these misunderstandings where someone is asked if they're willing to support something, and it isn't that they're not willing to support it, is that it isn't clear enough what they're being asked to do.
Yeah.
And this request for help me figure out what to do is also support we can ask for. It's just different.
Yeah.
And some people have the skill set or purpose alignment with one of those and not the other. And what I heard from Marina is that I don't know that that was necessarily a significant concern. So I would like to move us back to Maureen's question. Is this complete for you, Rachel? Ruma, is there something you wanted to add or ask?
Oh, I'm absolutely clear.
Fantastic. So Maureen, I'm curious if you want to move to the question of what would we have done or what I might have done if you had come to me and said, will you come hold some conversion facilitation stuff to support this?
Yes, I would like to go there because that's where I'm at now. I've done all the other things for 8 months, trying to figure out what to do and trying things. So yes, I've landed on this as the strategy that would have worked.
It might have, we don't know. So I think the first thing I would have done is to find out who are the stakeholders. So I would have engaged in conversation with you, which is usually how I start when somebody comes to me. It's like, hey, will you come facilitate something for us? Or we have this conflict in our community or at our work. I start with getting a sense for the problem. So I would want to understand who are all the stakeholders. And in this moment, I'm guessing that those are the participants, this person, the Mickey who's leading holding the space, course organizers, NBC Academy, potentially other people. So I want to understand who is actually a stakeholder in this decision. And then I would want to understand their willingness to engage in a process. This is a pretty pivotal piece because if most of your stakeholders don't want to engage in the process, I would approach it very differently than if they're willing to participate. Some of it I do by intuition. I want to get my intuitive sense of, like, if I was in this stakeholder's shoes, how much energy would I be willing to put into this? Would I be willing to show up for an hour long meeting? Would I be willing to share my considerations in a brief email? I'm not going to assume and then make decisions based on that, but it helps for me to think about it a little bit. So I get a sense of what do I think is in the space? And then I would check. And I want to check with specificity. So I would want to reach out with some clarity about what am I proposing that we do? Like, I would like to hold a 2-hour conversion facilitation session about this to make a decision about how this person is going to participate or whatever the decision question ends up being. And would you be willing to, and then get super specific, would you be willing to participate in a 1-hour session of this? Would you be willing to, and I usually would try to offer multiple options. Otherwise, it takes a lot of back and forth, right? So I would want to ask, here are some ideas I have. Would you be willing to give us 30 minutes in one of the core sessions to collect some considerations from people in the space? Would you be willing to share your considerations through email? And then I would also want to ask, if you're not willing to participate, do you have someone else who might represent you? And do you have any concerns about continuing with this process without you? So I'm not going like, oh, you didn't want to participate, so we just did it without you. And I'm also not assuming that because they don't want to participate, it means we can't do it. the more I can come up with these questions that I need answers to in advance and include them in my request, the faster we will move. Otherwise, it's really slow to ask, you know, even just if you have three or four stakeholders, which is really small, it's a lot to go, are you okay with the session? No. Are you okay with it? Like doing it one by one is really, I want to think, what are some likely responses? And then try to catch as many of them as I can. And then see what I get back when I ask those questions. And then I will have a sense of what is possible. I want to pause there, see if that's clear and if you have questions about it.
I don't have questions. I just have some mourning, although it's more joyful right now than sad, because that I just didn't have access to this pathway.
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm not mad at myself because I just literally didn't know anything. One time I was in a breakout and people were like, use convergent facilitation. And I was like, what? What's that? Okay. So it was very clear to me. And I was writing crazily and I'm realizing it's recorded. So I stopped writing.
And this is why we record, and we really appreciate shared notes. So if anyone does end up taking notes, we have a shared notes document. And it's really helpful to have those written out. I saw a hand. Yes.
I have a question. From what I understand around the problem, I'm wondering if convergent facilitation is really the right thing for that. Because from what I understand, it's about taking decision, right? So we convene a bunch of people to collaboratively find what's important for every one of us, and then brainstorm possibilities that attend to all these needs. Criteria.
Needs is fine.
Okay, I just heard from the guys from the non-violent communication community that it's not the same as perceived.
Ah, yes.
Needs is a bit different from the context in the non-violent communication context and in the convergent facilitation context. That's why. But okay, we know what I'm talking about. So I'm wondering, what is then the prompt if we theoretically convene this group, if all stakeholders are okay, so let's come together and think together how to solve this problem. But then I need to have a prompt, like, what is the decision we want to take? And this should be as clear as possible.
So I'm curious I want to say that I don't know that convergent facilitation is the best tool to apply to this problem. And we are operating under the assumption that we picked it for whatever reason, because this is what we practice in this space. And I think it's a useful tool to apply to this problem, regardless of whether we have other tools that we might have thought were a better fit. So I want to check with you. You said you didn't hear a clear decision, and I heard at least two decisions that were made. And I'm wondering if you think back to what Maureen described, if you can catch what is a decision, at least one decision that was made.
No, I think I'm in another level now. A decision that was made in this group, you mean?
A decision that was made that might have benefited from thinking about everyone's needs and considerations.
No, sorry, I'm lost. Help
it's
me.
It's quite all right. I'm wondering if anyone else heard a decision that was made, or two or three.
Yeah,
Just
to clarify for Rumi, we're talking about decisions made in the RTTC class. So a decision was made to remove this person from the class. So, you know, there was an opportunity in the months preceding that to take a decision about whether this person continued or not. in a way that would have allowed for a process, an inclusive process.
Yeah, okay, so this would have been the question. Let's come together in 2 hours in a convergent facilitation process and think together, what should we do in this challenging situation?
Yes.
Would it be something like that, that I would like the convergent facilitator suggest to, you know, collaboratively work on?
Yes. And
probably we, in this way, it would have been a completely different energy on how we deal with this conflict, and not the one negative and very unpleasant for you, Maureen, from what I sensed, way how this has been solved.
Yeah, and I want to highlight for us that this piece about noticing that we are making decisions that have stakeholders, and we are uncertain if all stakeholders were sufficiently involved, is one of the things we want to develop our skills around, so that we know when it makes sense to bring in conversion facilitation skills. So a decision like, are we going to remove this controversial content that somebody posted in our classroom, is it usually a charged decision where I can see the benefit of applying CF principles. Even if you don't hold the whole process, you can apply CF principles to think about, how do we do this with care? And the second decision about removing the person from the space is another example. I imagine there were many other decisions along the way. This is one of the things that happens when we don't come together with a clear, let's make a decision about it. What happens in practice is that we keep making decisions about it. For example, we were making the decision for the person to keep participating. It's a decision we made by default, by the person continuing to show up and people experiencing impacts and no other action being taken. That is a decision. It's less visible to people that it's a decision because it looks like an inaction, but it is a decision. And it's more visible that it was a decision when we decided to do something different, when we decided to remove the person. I say we, whoever decided, when some people decided to remove this person from the space. And I want to say that one of the decisions that we make is whether CF is the tool we are going to use. There are other tools we could be using. We can also just be making, we again being whoever is holding decision-making power about this, could decide to just make a unilateral decision or make a decision in a small group of trusted people or vote. Not usually something we do around here. I just want to say these options are available. Okay. Magda, I want to check in again with you to see if anything else came up for you to share.
No, it feels, I'm understanding the context. It's, yeah, it's very new to me.
Thank you. So I want to offer us our time check. Is there anyone who would like us to shift out of this topic to something else or to separate into two groups? Otherwise, we'll go for another 10 minutes and check again.
I would be ready if Rumi is still interested and Magda, it still works for you to move into a different breakout.
I want to check with Maureen and Sabina if you would want to separate or if you would want all of us to shift to this new topic. Do you have a preference?
I would believe it or not, find relief shifting, because if that makes sense at all, I have been processing and talking about this to people, to myself, for too long. So we could get more clarity. I got a lot of clarity. And the only thing I would, that would help me settle is what are people have mentioned other tools might be better. I'm curious what some of those might be. And someone could just put that in the chat. Like, cause I wish I had applied them or something. So that's where I'm at, like shifting. And I've been around children a lot. So this would also be helpful and somewhat settling to my poor little nervous system.
Rumi, did you want to share something?
I'm fine if we go in different breakout rooms.
I'm hearing that actually what we might want to do is stay in this space and move to a different topic and maybe bring in some fresh energy. And then there's a request from Maureen if anyone has other tools they would have suggested. The one I named is a restorative circle. If you have other tools related to conflict or that you think would be useful in this situation, if you can share in the chat. And I want to check with myself to see if there's anything else I want to share about this before we move on. I think there's one more thing I want to share, and that's to say that that distinction about whether we hold a conversion facilitation process or just apply principles for integration is really important to me to highlight. Because sometimes people have the sense, oh, if we can't bring everybody together into the room to talk for 2 hours, then we can't do CF. And I really don't hold it in that way. Any one of us could sit down by ourselves and write down our understanding of the non-controversial essence for all of the stakeholders in the space and come up with a proposal that we think is integrative, and then bring that proposal back to everyone. Be like, I'm proposing we do this for the situation. Does anyone have concerns? Maybe even just share it in the classroom forum and then integrate concerns and bring it back. So there are many ways we could do CF. It doesn't have to be about coming into a room and talking. Mm-hmm. I think with that, I'm complete. And I'm curious, Magda, if you'd be willing to lead this next piece so that I can take a break and relax for a bit.
I will share another tool that might be supportive in this situation. It's a group decision making process called systemic consensing. And I had a sense, Sabina, that you wanted to share something earlier.
I did, but it's past. It's okay.
It's past. Okay. I'm putting the name in the chat. Okay, so I remember you, Rumi, wanted to talk about the challenging situations in your family. And I remember you, Rachel, you have a similar situation, and I don't know if you're okay with Rumi going first.
Okay, I didn't share actually anything concrete. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Rachel, you know, with teenagers, you have very different situations and challenges and conflicts. I'm okay if we start with this screen time conflict and how can we use maybe nonviolent communication and also the principles of convergent facilitation in this dynamics, right? So Rachel, if you are more precise and clear about the issue, please go for it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. I can only share one other issue, and we can then decide in a group if we tackle this also or not. Challenging situation for me is when we as parents, you know, have different perception how to deal with a situation, for example, screen time for the teen. And how can we as parents be on the same page and communicate with each other and set also the rules for each other? And yeah, and so, you know, so this is also a challenging thing, I think, in every family where conflict can arise.
Uh-huh, because two parents might have different perspectives on an issue.
Exactly. And then the one is in a conversation with I don't know, I don't want to say a child, because these are not children anymore. They're on the way of becoming adults. So it's an eye-to-eye communication, or should be in my perspective. But when you are in a communication with that, and then my partner would then jump in and say something completely in contradiction to what I am right now negotiating with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would leave it and then try afterwards to have a conversation between me and my partner and clarify how we want to handle situations like that. I'm happy if you want to give me a feedback, but I'm not okay if you do that within the context of a conversation that I'm having just at this moment with my son.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, so what
I want to check with you if your preference is to talk about what you share right now, or if you want to hear the topic, the details of the topic Rachel is bringing.
Both is okay for me.
Uh-huh. You don't have a preference.
I'm just bringing something to the table, something that we can exercise. and I have no preferences, nothing urgent, or, you know, it's just a space to learn together for me. So which topic we take is up is okay.
Mm-hmm. And the second topic you named is like it's about making a decision between you and your partner about how to have conversation about difficult topics with your child or children, and when to share what, or like what do you want to do first? Agree on your on both of your perspectives and then share, or do some different things, other things.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Okay. So how about going with this one? And I'm curious, like the thing that comes to me is that to check what's important for you about this decision, how to share things with your almost adult children, especially in the situations when you and your partner have different perspectives or preferences. So what would be important for you? It means that we collect considerations for a decision, and we can do it together as a group if it's not easy for you to find the considerations. Would that work for you?
Yes, let's give it a try.
Uh-huh. So what's important for you in such situations?
Well, first, it's important to me to have a safe space to exchange with my partner about our point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say about screen time.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to integrate our differences, because there will be differences, which is absolutely okay, but try to integrate it and then together decide how we want to show up as both of us with our son when it comes to difficulties with screen time.
Mm-hmm. So right. I'm hearing two considerations or needs. One is to have a safe space to share what's on your mind, what are your preferences about how to hold this decision about screen time.
Mm.
And the second piece I'm hearing is about that you want, when you share, when both of you or one of you is sharing your perspective from parents, is that it's the same for you and your partner. Or so.
Yeah, sure, this should be equal. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, the challenge that I have is that when I reach out to my partner and say, look, we have this, we have to think about screen time and how we want to handle this in our family with our son. What do you think about that? And he said, oh, I don't see any issue. That's normal for teenagers. That's okay. So he's not involving at all in the process of what do you think, what I think, how can we figure it out, and what could be suitable for our son? How can we support him in finding a way for himself to use all this media in an appropriate way for his age and so on? So when the other person is not willing to involve at all in that, this is a challenging situation then for me.
Uh-huh. So you want some support from him and some involvement in making this decision.
Exactly. And when I reach out, The thing is that he says he doesn't see any problem there. It's normal that teenagers are using a lot of mobiles. And I say, but I'm worried because it's too much, like 6-7 hours a day is too much. I think it's our responsibility to jump in and do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, yeah, but it's not okay. Control and punishment is not okay. Well, I'm okay with that, absolutely. But then, what do you suggest? Anything you can propose? And then it's end.
Uh-huh.
So what to do in a situation that when you're willing to engage, in this case, my partner, so one person, but sometimes you would like to engage a group or the whole family, right? You're willing to engage in something and say, hey, look, I sense here we need to do something. Let's exchange and find together a way to do that. And then you encounter, no, we don't need to do anything. You are like you're overthinking that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And shut up.
So I reflected back the considerations from you. And now with what you are sharing, I'm hearing some considerations that come from your partner. And there are two things. One is that he wants to have, you didn't use this word, some partnership with your son. You said that he doesn't want control and punishment about the screen time. So I imagine he wants to be in a dialogue and partnership with your son about it. And the other thing I heard is about that he doesn't want to, he wants to, he wants to be mindful about how much time and energy he puts into attending this issue. You said something that he doesn't want to, like, he doesn't see it as a problem.
Mm.
Does it match your understanding of his needs?
Yes, this could be your interpretation.
What could be an interpretation
that he wants to be mindful with the time that he wants to put in this issue?
Uh-huh.
So showing disengagement and shutting up could be said in another way. I want to be mindful with the time that I'm.
I see. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So this is very nice. Thank you for that. Very nice way to express that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, control and punishment is not the right way. Yes, this yes, this means he would like to be in a partnership with him, which is a great basic. But still, so what? What does it mean to be a partnership?
Mm. So it needs some concrete solutions or steps.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Just like convergent facilitation, right? There's our concerns and wishes and criteria. But then what? What we decide to do concretely?
Mm-hmm. Ronnie, I have a sense you want to share something.
Is it because I'm raising my hand?
Mm-hmm.
There was a request for me to attend to something in the space that is timely. And I am curious, yes, if there will be any significant impacts on you if I leave at this point and leave you to close out the call for the next 20 minutes.
I think I'm fine with it.
Do you want another moment to check, or are you relatively certain? Would it be supportive for you if I recruit Marcella to offer you support if needed?
Your question is touching something that is challenging.
Okay. Would it be helpful to just stay with your original answer and I can return you to what you were doing?
Yes.
Okay. It's been a real pleasure accompanying all of you, and I hope to see you again in one of our spaces soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So coming back to you, Rumi.
Yes.
So you were expressing a longing to have some steps to take in order to find a solution for this challenging situation.
Yes, some agreements.
What comes to me as a next step is to sit with this criteria we named together and to see what solution would attend to all of them.
Mm.
And you might do it on your own.
Mm.
And come back to your partner, or you might invite him to do it together with you by showing him this list and saying, hey, okay, this is what I saw. I was thinking about it. I was, whatever you say, I was reaching out for support, whatever feels appropriate for you to share with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, can we sit together and find a solution that would work for both of us?
And I can come already with a list of possible agreements or
solutions. Yes.
Solutions.
Yeah. Yes. It depends. Like, what you want to do? What is your preference? And what is your willingness? Or what is your capacity? If you know that you have no idea how to integrate his criteria.
Mm.
Then you need support. And if you have a sense that you might come up with a solution that then can be refined in a dialogue with him, then yeah, like I see both ways as good options, depending on the specific conditions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. This is helpful.
Uh-huh. I'm curious if you want to take a moment and capture in the notes right now, before they disappear, like, or fade a little bit from your memory.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure.
I think like this would be helpful for me. That's why I'm proposing it to you.
You have to help me with which notes you mean.
I invite you to take a note of your needs or considerations for the decision, both from you and your partner.
Now for me personally.
Right now, when the memory is fresh.
Oh yeah, sure. I'm taking notes the whole time long.
Okay. I see. I didn't notice it.
I thought you wanna put some notes as learnings from this conversation for everybody somewhere in the
show. No. Just for you.
Just for me. Yes.
Yeah.
The whole time. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Does it feel complete for you?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Rachel, I want to check with you. Yes, I'm tracking. You were holding some challenging situation about screen time or phone use with your child, which I think you said children.
Yeah.
And we still have like 17 minutes, so we can dedicate to it like 10, 12 minutes. Would you like to use this time?
Yeah.
I need to hear something from you. What is the challenge you're holding?
Yeah, so the challenge is that my teenagers are, they are on their phones more than I'm comfortable with. And I think my personal tension.
Rachel, I need a moment. I need to ask for support with my daughter.
Yeah, go ahead.
I am back. So I heard that your children are spending more time using phone than you are feeling comfortable with.
Yeah, and my personal tension is around when I do nothing. My sense is that I'm enabling them. I'm allowing it. I'm sort of enabling something that ultimately is not good for them, is not supportive to them, is harmful even. And and I want to be in as much collaboration as possible with them. And my husband and I are on the same page, so that's not our issue.
Good.
Yeah. At least there's that.
So it's the combination of two things, what I'm hearing. It's about you want to be in a collaboration or make a collaborative decisions with them about phone use. And that you are holding this interpretation of you that you enable this behavior that you find harmful.
Yeah.
And behind it, I hear a longing that you really want to change this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't know how?
I don't know how other than force. And even that, I don't even know how to use. I'm not against, you know, there's sort of a spectrum. And actually my daughter, I do have screen limits on her phone. My son figured out how to get around those. So, and for some reason hasn't told my daughter how. So it's just sort of, I don't even think force is really that possible. And or sustainable or so I really would love to come to some collaborative decision that works for all of us.
And you want to know how to, or like you want to find an option how to start.
I have attended a lot of CF practice calls. I mean, I have some sense of how to run a CF process. So I guess I'm maybe not even sure what my question is. I think actually I would love, and I don't know if this is what we're here to do, but I would love to hear some strategies.
I have a thought. Are you stuck because you don't know how to invite your children into holding this dilemma together with you, even if you know then the steps how to do it?
Thank you for that question. I do know how to invite them in. I have concern that they don't want to be part of this conversation. Yeah, I guess I have concern about how to invite them in a way that they will be maybe not eager, but willing to be in this conversation, because I think their point of view, hi, Sarah, is that what's in this for us? We're just going to have to give something up.
Okay. So like saying it completely different words is that you don't believe that they can see that they can gain anything by joining you in making this decision, whatever the results would be.
Thank you for framing it that way. I think they actually can. And the last conversation I had with my 17-year-old son about my anxiety about his phone use, he was not defensive, and he alluded to understanding that, yes, he too sees that he's giving something, he may be giving something up in his so in his strategy to be on his phone as much as he is.
So meaning that he sees that there is something that doesn't serve him.
He is willing to look at that. I think my daughter is more defensive.
Okay. And I'm curious if you consider this possibility of hearing about their different motivations or willingness to have a separate processes, or maybe, you know, only with your son who is willing and not, and say, okay, you are not willing right now.
Yeah.
And maybe she will shift by seeing the results of the process you do with your son.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. She could even observe the process that we do. And because I do have screen limits on her phone, I feel slightly less anxious about her screen use. So yeah, it is actually more alive between my son and I. Yeah, I like that suggestion, Magda.
It, like, I have a sense that what we often do is we look for some, you know, ideal perfect solution that would resolve all the things or the whole problem, and we forget that we can go step by step and start with not ideal solutions and like a little bit more towards what we want to see or what we want to have. And then it gives us energy.
Yeah, to take a little step and see the benefit of that. It gives us energy and trust to keep going.
And then and I saw your hand, Rumi. And then there is something about that if we change one piece of a situation, the situation shifts. And then we don't even need to do anything. I'm not saying you having a conversation and decision with your son resolve everything that is going on between you and your daughter, but things shift only by shifting one condition without making anything else. I saw it many, many times. And I think you have this experience too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Rumi, I want to check. Yeah.
I just love this, what you say, that sometimes we are looking for the one thing that will solve everything. But I wanted to share an experience for me with you, Rachel, because you said you'll be happy to hear some strategies, which this reminds me from what we were talking about that I agreed with my son. I also try to have collaborative conversations with him, and sometimes he would be receptive and other times not. So there is a lot of the need of fine-tuning when is the right moment, and he's in the right mood for that. And I try to be compassionate with this biological phase of what is going on in their brain at this moment, right? So they're not children, but also not adults. And what we did is that we agreed to try something out for 2 weeks. And this was very helpful for him, because it was also not, took over the pressure. So now I'm committing to something and this will be forever. And I'm not sure if I can carry this forever. Mm. Right. So let's try this one out for the next 2 weeks. And then we check with each other again and see if we want to adjust something.
Mm.
Mm. This was a nice, a good experience, actually. We definitely adjusted a few things. So he has also this screen time limits, and he find a way to go around that. But then during our conversations, he decided to let's try this one again, because obviously I cannot myself control my screen time. So it was from his side that he wanted to have these limits again. But we adjusted them. Let's have 2 hours there and 3 hours there, and things like that. And then say, okay, let's try this model for 2 weeks, how it works for you, and then change it.
Uh-huh. Is this helpful, Rachel?
Yes. Thank you.
I want to add, like you actually said it, but I remember Mickey sharing an example about what to do with sugar and children. And she was sharing an example of, like similar thing, like doing something for a short period of time. But there was an additional thing, which is observe both, like everyone observes the results. And they have like as if we do a research, what serves us better and what serves this very child better, and from inside of them. And so a lot of screen time, like some conditions, and then you choose based on really observations, how you feel. Do you feel more energized? I don't know, different things. I'm sure you can come up with this, but just making a research inside of your family and check what is the best solution for everyone. Not in theory, but really in practice. This is what I wanted to add. Uh-huh. I'm seeing there is 4 minutes left, and I want to check, Rachel, if it's enough for you right now about it. Yeah. Yes, I'm glad to hear. Uh-huh. So I would like to go to closing. And I would enjoy hearing from everyone any takeaways or anything else you would like to share about this call. And I want to check with you, Sarah, if you want to go first, because you were only listening for a long time, and maybe you want to share things, or you are eager to share.
Thank you. I can go first. I was not wanting to try to figure out my turning off my mute before. Uh-huh. While I was driving, there was something I heard from Roni about coming for support and the difference between it wasn't what she recapped, but it was the difference between, hey, I need support, can you do it? And I need support, I am going to be doing it, but can you help me? So I will head this, I will take this on, I will be doing the brunt of it, but is this okay? Rather than coming to someone and saying, I want you to take on all of the
So you refer to the clarity of the request for support. If it's about supporting you or someone else with clarity, what's supportive, or offering support in some tangible way that is clear within the request, or something else. I wasn't clear.
Say what you said again. There was a bus going by.
The difference I heard is that either we come with a clear request, and the clear request, it might be of, you know, some tool or practice to be applied, or the request could be, can you help me to get clarity what I need, what would be supportive for me?
So that's what she recapped, but there was something else that I heard, which was about, I need support, but I'm going to take it on. So the difference between going to Mickey and saying, can you do a convergent facilitation process? And I want to have a convergent facilitation process, I'm going to do it. Is that okay with you? I just want your support in terms of
this
bit. Yes or no.
Yeah.
That's what I was hearing. And I am complete. I can pass it on.
Thank you. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next. The two things that what Sarah just said was one thing that I like really appreciated about the being very specific about the request you're making of somebody. And the idea that you could do convergent facilitation with people as a principal and sort of set and then bring it to the group as like that actually would have been really useful for me to help me just like, hey, we could have done this. I don't know, it would have taken some tension off of me. And it would have contributed, like when a lot of times I don't know how to ask what questions to ask, or I would have felt proud of that question. Would have fit in. And then the last part is what you said, going step by step. I love that. Like, that's really useful for me. Like, it's not about solving, it's about moving closer. And as you do, you find you have more capacity. And I'm noticing that with even just coming here and talking about this gives me more capacity to take a step closer to the call on Friday. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to check, like, I want to complete the round, and it's the end of the scheduled time. Does anyone need to leave within 5 minutes, like right now? Marcella. And you need to, Sarah, leave. Okay. Thank you for being with us.
I did want to say one thing, I think, to segue before I leave as a way of closing, because I feel I've been multitasking. Is that okay, Magda?
Mm-hmm.
Segueing from what I've been hearing, this idea, the two pieces around what I'm continuously taking away is the small steps and the daily practice, that if I actually I'm aware of it, and the choice that I'm actually at any given point when there's a bit of tension that arises, oh, an opportunity to attend to it with care and with the idea of converging the essences that are arising. So it's a practice, and it can be, for me, it works best when it's small, when there's little small moments that I can catch myself practicing. It's like building my muscle. And then something else that was expressed, that there's no way I can do it for the big moments when I'm actually, when I most want it, when I most want the practices of convergent facilitation, that's when I'm most triggered and most low resourced. So that's why the small building muscles up is important. Yeah. And then building trust in the field. So when that tension arises, we can lean on the trust and not to do it alone, like not doing anything alone anymore. It's coming back to groups like this, you know, eliciting circles of support, because it tells me that I'm not supposed to know everything and owe it all the time and do it well. My last piece is the redo. Like, for whatever the redo looks like when I mess it up big time, then I can move into redoing, whether with the same person, whether with you know, whatever, the redo it, like it's the repair. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Does anyone else need to leave?
I need to leave. Uh-huh. And I just 100% echo what Marcella just said.
Mm, thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I need to go too. And I think everyone has captured what I wanted to say and then added more to it. So I'm really grateful for everybody's feedback. And I really do need to go. Apologies. Bye.
Bye. Rumi, you are muted.
Thank you for this opportunity. What I'm taking with me is, besides of all that has been said, is also what I noticed myself, that sometimes it could be helpful to sit with yourself and clarify for you, for your head, what is actually the challenge that you're facing? Can you formulate it in one sentence? If you can't, then maybe this is a mix of challenges, and maybe break it down and find some steps for each of them. So I experienced this one. Thank you for that possibility.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Magda.
Thank you, Magda.
Thank you. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Magda, you're okay? I just realized you're okay.
I'm okay. I'm okay. And you wanted to go.
Yes. And that was, I was like with tension around that, but yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Bye.
Bye.